Hi, welcome to a quick episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? It was going to be longer, but I'm having technical difficulties uploading clips because I got some good ones. A lot of new stuff last night, and Corpus Christi, Texas is this beautiful mix of Mexicans and rednecks. So that is a good mix. All right, I have some clips though. Here's a clip, because one thing I want to do in this episode is go over what irony actually means. And I have a really inspiring story from a listener that I got to hang with last night and have some great talks with. And yeah, all right, so here's a clip of something that the internet and the news would make you think isn't possible. And not only is it possible, it's wanted. Okay, here's the first thing I say when I go on stage yesterday. And bear in mind, the audience is about 60% Mexicans. Like, from half of those, I'd say, are from Mexico. Half are probably first, maybe second generation. But, like, very Mexican. Not like my buddy Kevin Peter Hickerson, the physicist whose dad is from Mexico, even though he's white as my ass in December. The divisions between people are not real, and I think that's why I'm doing a lot more of these episodes lately, is because I'm very passionate to show people this reality. Here's my opening joke.
Good times, I'm Mexicans. Nice. That was great. I was like, Texas, yeah, my people, and I come here, and it's not my people anymore. I love Mexicans. You guys are a blast. Very positive people, very happy, party, work hard, Catholic, like brown Irish people. Like, instead of ha-ha, you guys text me ja-ja. It's so exciting, like, I'll say something kind of funny, and my buddy's like, ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja.
And the reason that joke worked, I mean, it's, you know, there's probably a slight bit of uncomfort, but it made everyone laugh in the sense that it's kind of true. You know, when you're like, oh, you're going to do comedy in Texas, and you're like, yeah, a lot of whites. And then you get here and you're like, not a lot of whites. And I think one thing about comedy that's important to do is be a little shocking, a little thought-provoking, definitely honest, but at the same time, not threatening. And I think the reason that worked is I seemed almost concerned, like that I was not in the power position in that situation, where I'm like, yeah, what the hell's going on here? You know, I was the prey animal. So it gave me a little more fluidity to say something that just kind of shook the audience a little into what would then become the show. All right, here is, sorry for my eyes, I'm twitching my eyes a lot, because I don't have contact solution. I gotta go get some. My eyes are very dry right now, very dry. So this next clip, I wanted to illustrate, and I know you guys have probably seen me do some of these Spanish language jokes, but I wanted to illustrate what irony is. Because I think there's a lot of miscommunication online and in life with people not understanding just the basic definition of the word irony. There's three types of ironies. There's, I only remember the names of two of the ironies, but I still can describe it. Okay, I only remember the name of one of the ironies. Oh, one's verbal irony, which is like an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp. You know, it's just a contradictory word group. Situational irony, that's when the actual definition is the opposite of the literal definition. A lot of times it's kind of just almost hypocrisy. It's almost like a comedic hypocrisy. I try not to use the word hypocrisy that much because it's intense to call someone a hypocrite or to point out hypocrisy because we all have it in us. So I try not to do that. But that's kind of what that is. You know, it's like when you see, Like Al Gore in his own jet is ironic. You know, you could call that hypocrisy, but I think hypocrisy almost implies intent. That I think irony is more funny because I think that there's an air of innocence to it. sometimes. Like that one joke I do about being drunk and trying to defend a girl. But I was so, like, this couple were fighting. And this guy's like calling this girl a bitch, you know, and it was kind of jarring. I didn't like it, you know, but I was hammered. And he's like, shut up, bitch. And I'm like, I'm gonna do something. And I come over and I'm like, don't talk to the bitch like that. That's irony. Because I was being valiant and sexist simultaneously. I was being valiant. I was putting her down and defending her simultaneously. And I guess hypocrisy would be if I was the head of some feminism movement, but at the same time I was saying these things and, you know, in private, because that's intent. That means that I know what I'm doing. It's almost, it's the difference between like first degree murder and manslaughter. This is how I feel it. What I'm about to show you is something that I love. It's great if you're a writer, because it's always funny. It's called dramatic irony. That's when the audience knows something that the character does not know. And it's in that innocence to reality causes laughter or high drama. Okay, so this is more about Spanish language. So I'll show you the clip. Check this out.
I've noticed that with my Mexican buddies. Like, I'm trying to learn Spanish and I'm like trying to impress them, you know? Because my nickname is Gringo Stupido, which means friend. Or they call me Maricón, which means like really good friend. They're really good guys, you know? They're really good dudes. Anyway.
Okay, you see, that's dramatic irony, because what I'm saying is. Dumb white man. That's gringo stupido. Gringo stupido. So basically I'm saying they have this great nickname for me. You know, dumb white man. It means friend, is what I'm saying. And so the audience's knowledge is the joke, because it's like I don't realize what's happening. It's kind of like in a picture, if someone's holding the middle finger to the back of your head and you don't see it. And then the next part, Medicón is a gay, you know? And that being a really good friend, that's a next layer of joke, because it's more dramatic irony. This is a funny little clip that I want to show. And I do have clips where I'm not getting laughs, but I just can't upload it right now. It's like insane. And this is one of the reasons. This is just kind of funny. The camera falls down during the set. Check this out real quick.
Saltito means duck, for you guys it means gay guy. Saltito sucio means a little dirty duck. How did you guys make ducks gay?
Yeah, ducks also mean gay, by the way, which is funny. So does Mariposa. On the second show, I was riffing about like how a moth is heterosexual because it's not very colorful. You know, it's almost like a diss on heterosexuals. It's like Mariposa sounds like you're being, that means butterfly. It also means gay in a lot of Hispanic communities. If you call someone a mariposa, it means you're a gay guy. So that implies that the moth is straight, and the moth is just like a bland white vanilla color. You know, you kill moths. You don't kill butterflies. So it's almost anti-heterosexual in a bizarre way. And like ducks have huge wieners. I've talked about that many times on this podcast. So calling a gay guy a patito sucio, I mean dirty duck, you're basically saying you have a huge wiener and you can fly, swim, and walk. Great, like very well. So that's when you start seeing some of these words bite them in the ass. Because they're really mocking themselves. You know, Mariposa, I'd rather be colorful. And I was doing that joke and there's a pretty tough looking Mexican in the front row wearing a pink shirt. And I just got to look at him and say Mariposa, it was good times. Mexicans love being made fun of because they make fun of you too. It's they're really a wonderful culture, and they're being so messed with by political agendas and media where it's making people not capable of this. I'm like, don't say that, okay? They're Americans. It's like, shut up. Just shut your mouth. The only way multiculturalism is very difficult. The way it works, comedy, music, food. Like, that's why cultural appropriation can't simultaneously work. Like, when people say, oh, don't do that, that's not your culture. That's the only way we get along, is mocking each other, adapting each other's cultures, and whether that's food or music or whatever. That's this whole like multicultural thing is the only way for it. The only way for it to work is to culturally appropriate. That's the only way. So it's weird. It's almost like they're making this pressure cooker where you have multiculturalism, which is already very difficult, but then you take away your only tools to get through it, which is the appropriating of culture. And then people be like, oh, so says the white man. That's also death. You can't take away people's ideas. And by the way, what does white mean? What are we, a moth? Are we moths? You kill moths. But anyway, this is just a funny little clip. So the camera's down and I see that it's down. By the way, this is only 6 minutes total into the show. This, I think I might be too comfortable on stage. Like I think this is when optimism, like my level of optimism is extreme. Like I had just started doing stand up for a group of people I didn't know in a city I've never been to. And this was my response.
Corpus Christi, was that Latin for like Christie's body? is that working? I can come fix it. These guys are cool. Let's chill for a second. All right, I'll be one second.
That was
somebody
bumped
the table.
Oh, it's all good, bud. There you go. Oh, that whole thing was going. That's amazing.
I told the whole crowd, basically I was like acting like they were one dude at a bar. Like, oh, he's cool. No, they're fine. I'm just going to come down and fix it. And then I'm just like, I'm not even thinking about it. That's bizarre to me. I never really would have thought about it unless I watched that. It's like, that's insane. So I'm going to do another video when I get more of the clips, because I have some good clips. I have a new bit about Catholicism. And my lawyer story has no end. I don't know how to end it. I don't know why they didn't laugh. It's a great story. Not real though. I think that might be it. I don't know, we'll go through that when I get all these clips. But the Catholic joke I'm working on is because I was inspired, I was listening to Steven Crowder interview a guy who's really big on YouTube, who's an atheist. And Steven's very Christian. And they were like getting along really well because they were talking about their common belief in debate and Socratic method and reason and all this stuff. And that's why I started thinking about my religious background and why I'm kind of in this no man's zone of like Christian, you know, believe in God, think Jesus is a great guy, but like don't really know that much. And I think it's from being Catholic, and I think a lot of Mexicans relate. So I started doing a bit about, because when I was a little kid, we'd go see Mass, and it'd be in Latin. And we didn't even know what they were saying. They'd be like, "Hoc est omnes bonum," and we'd just be like, and then I'll talk to my buddies who are more either like born-again Christian or evangelical Christian or even just Protestant, like Lutheran, I think they have more of a connection to the actual scripture. You know, they'll be like, well, Corinthians says, and I'm in like the bit, and Mexicans seem to really relate to it, is my response is just like, yeah, I don't know that, but I put money in the basket, so I'm, you know, I get to be here. I put a dollar in the basket and sat through all that, like, Corpus Christi, Gomez, Domus, Bomus. Because you when you're Catholic, you get kind of the, but my parents are also like professors. So they have that questioning nature of more Protestant. Because Protestants are kind of the rock stars of Christianity. They're the ones that like Martin Luther broke off and did his own thing and questioned the corruption of the Catholic Church. And the corruption of the Catholic Church is, you know, bothers me as well. And it's probably made me not as religious or even spiritual as I probably would have been naturally, but we still get the basic morality of, like, you know, turn the other cheek and the kindness, like trying to be kind and what is right and wrong in society. And a lot of these things are just ingrained in us and they're very good things, but we don't really know anything else. You know, and I just think that's a funny angle to take on religion, because it's true. It's there's an element of tragedy in it, but it's also not offensive to religious people or atheists or agnostics or anybody, because it's, I think assigning blame is when things go to hell. And I'm not trying to assign blame, I'm just trying to describe why I am the way I am and why we feel the way we feel, and why when you're Catholic you don't seem to have that same spark that a lot of evangelical Christians have, because I think they have more of a relationship. It's more of a personal. That's why I think a lot of Christians can't stand this social justice warrior movement, because it's the opposite of individual responsibility. I think that Christianity empowers the individual, where you have control over forgiving your enemy. You have control over trying to be better, trying to learn more and debate. Jews also are like that. Jews relish debate, you know? And there's some religions that don't, that will be unnamed. But I think that's why some of these people don't understand the silencing of the individual thought and the debate, because it just goes against your whole worldview and Western worldview. And I just think that that joke concept incorporates a lot. And then another joke that I think I might have missed because my phone died in the second show, but I was thinking about Valentine's Day, how the heart, because it doesn't look like a heart. It blatantly does not look like a human heart. A human heart, as Clive Owen said in that movie Closer, "Have you seen a heart? It looks like a fist wrapped in blood." You know, it's a pretty powerful scene. And it's full of ventricles and veins and all that stuff, and none of it looks like that. And then I kind of realized what the heart is. It's a woman's ass cheeks. Like, it literally looks like the, when you're looking down at a woman's fertile ass, a doggy. And then the little angel baby, you know, hits you with a, like a roofie dart. It's all very sinister, is what I'm trying to say. Valentine's Day, think of the imagery, think of the symbolism, because they took down the statue of General Lee in New Orleans, and I have a problem with that, and it's not because I like slavery, which is what a lot of people, their argument, that's how they shut down conversation, as they say, racist. It's like, at this point, we all blatantly know they don't think that. They're just saying it because they don't want to debate anything. What do you take down next? Caesar? Caesar committed genocide. Napoleon overthrew the French government. Do you take down Mao? 80 million people he killed. 80 million. Think about how many Holocausts that is. 80 million. And you take all his statues down. What about the pyramids of Giza? They're built by slaves. You turn them into dust. Colosseum, Christians fighting lions, turn into dust. No, you keep all our history. That's what we do. I understand taking down the Confederate flag on government buildings. That makes perfect sense to me, because that's symbolism. But, like, just a benign statue, to take that down, it's not like I'm angry about it, but the censorship is what empowers actual bad guys, because just it's the Two Live Crew effect. Banned in the USA. I bought that tape when I was 9. Because it was banned. I was a little white kid in a small town, and I bought basically the 80s version of 2 Chainz because it was banned, and I needed to hear it just simply because it was banned. That's how you turn actual white supremacists into free speech advocates, is you do silly things like take down that statue. I don't remember what I'm talking about right now. It was important. Taking down the statue, what the hell were we just talking about? I literally don't remember. Mexicans, social justice warriors. Oh, individualism, taking down statues. I don't know. It's definitely a good point. Because I'd already done that point in my Feed the Bear episodes, so I don't really enjoy repeating things unless I'm building to a good point. taking down the statue. What the hell does that mean? How is that? I don't know. All right, I'll just tell a good story and then we'll call it a day. And this podcast is sponsored by Blue Apron, blueapron.com/Owen. You get yourself 3 free meals, free delivery, and my wife and I use Blue Apron. It's awesome. They take fresh ingredients sent right to your door. You cook it with your family. They give you a recipe, so you learn how to cook as you're sharing the smells and the actions and the simmerings, the sounds of a meal. There's something really gratifying about cooking your own meal, you know, about making your own fence or digging your own holes. I do my own gardening. I don't know why people would pay someone to mow their own lawn or do their own gardening, because there's incredible joy and pride I take in looking at my grass I mowed, even though mowing isn't that hard, but I'm into it. So Blue Apron is a solution for that, and it's cheap, you know, it's around 10 bucks a person. It's awesome, fresh ingredients. So blueapron.com/Owen, that's a discount, 3 free delivery, and it helps out the podcast. And we also have patreon.com/WDTL if you want to donate to that. Good times. So there's a Why Don't They Laugh listener came to my show last night, this woman, Stephanie, and she's super cool, right? And we got to hang after, and we're having drinks and chatting. And this is, I want this to inspire people, because it inspired me and it really opened my eyes to how we can just be better as people. Stephanie, I found very inspiring, because on the podcast I've advocated nuclear power, you know, big fan. I'm like, yeah, nuclear power, it's real safe and stuff. And we're talking and she's like, yeah, your stance on nuclear power I disagree with, but I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing, and I'm inspired by your podcast, and it's so great to listen to, and I love your family, you know, just, and she's like, but the nuclear power thing, that's one thing I don't agree with. She got a brain tumor from radiation, lost a child, because she was working with nuclear warheads when she served in the military. Brain tumor. And she's still my friend. She's still a fan of the show. She didn't turn it, no, I don't agree with that. The fact that I'm talking about how great nuclear power is, and she had a tumor in her brain caused by radiation, and she can still allow that. That's inspiring. Think about the friendships ruined by stupid political discussions. Think about how silly it all is. Think about how silly it is by people like, white privilege, 1%. If you live in North America or Europe, you're in the 1% just being here. Worldwide 1%. And a lot of times these people, these social justice warriors, rich is just richer than them. They don't really care. They just want more. And they're unsatisfiable. And I think that morality, I didn't value religious morality for most of my life. Catholic, only my motto. But seeing the other option of a godless state with all the power that functions as a sociopathic organism, and the way it survives is by putting an identity on every single person in the society and making them not get along and not have common ground and not allow each other to laugh and cook food and have sex and listen to music. To break everyone up and say, oh no, you don't get to speak on this. Cultural appropriation, don't wear a sombrero, white man. That's death. And I would much rather have a society that has some sense of not that. Because where does that go? You know, if you take that to the limit, take it to the limit, where does that go? And then this woman is still a fan of mine, a Patreon supporter, comes to my shows, come to 2 shows, and she had a brain tumor from the very thing I'm praising. Let that inspire us. Let the ability of seeking out people that make you laugh or think, or I'm inspired by you when you write me comments on YouTube or write me emails or on Twitter or whatnot, saying I don't agree with a lot of what you believe, but I love what you're doing and I'm a fan. that's so inspiring to me, because what the cancer that's coming to society is, you know, I agree with almost everything you say except that one thing. Therefore, you're a racist. As Jordan Peterson, one of my heroes, describes, it's this dead wood built on lies. It starts surrounding your soul. Dead wood. And my brother's an arborist. And any tree person will tell you that if there isn't ever forest fires and it's dry and all this dead wood builds up and builds up and builds up, and you don't give it any way to release, that's when you get the monster fires. And all I'm looking for is release. I don't want power. I'm not agenda driven. I want people to get along because it's fun. And I like fun. I'm a fun maker. I'm a fun machine, you know? Oh, all right, I'll say this and then I'll get out of here. The Confederate statue thing that I was talking about, symbolism with the Valentine's baby and all that. Once you start judging symbolism, everything crumbles. It's all over. It's all over. If you take down, like, General Lee didn't even own slaves. Yeah, he was on the morally wrong side of a war that killed more Americans than all the other wars combined. But it was in a weird time, and it was a long time ago. You know, and the moral superiority that we currently have is pretty nauseating. You know, like Genghis Khan killed so many people that the earth got colder. Slavery existed since before Moses, all the way up, and you know, it still exists. If these people actually cared about slavery, there's more slaves right now than in 1850. So it was just a bad time. And yes, I'm glad the North won. And yes, I'm glad we retained the Union. And yes, I'm glad emancipation happened and all that. But that happened. And you don't take down these symbols, because then what's next is the question. And it gets all the way down to Mother's Day and Father's Day. Canada already took away some of that in certain Canadian schools because it's offensive to, you know, non-binary. Okay, Valentine's Day's gone. We're talking about an ass cheek and a roofie baby. That is crazier to me, and I'm fine with Valentine's Day. I think it's a great holiday. It's just hilarious. That's crazier to me than General Lee. That's like a Bill Cosby baby. He's shooting intoxicating arrows. He's a baby shooting little arrows that make people like horny and pass out or something. And then everyone's shooting hearts, which is the doggy style ass. And how do you get sex? By giving a woman something of monetary value. That's called prostitution. So that's gone. Christmas, they've already tried to take that away. New Year's probably will be gone because of time, when ageism comes out. Where, don't judge me based on when I'm born, okay? Do we get rid of time? Do we get rid of course, Flag Day. Okay, like, because it's all contradictions too. It's all just, there's no like thought process with the social justice movement. You know, like everyone's so mad at Trump for suggesting the wall with Mexico. I'm not personally for the wall with Mexico. And I have some right-wing buddies that argue with me, and that's fine, you know? Stephanie got a brain tumor, still my friend. But they also are the ones that really demonize the settlers, like Columbus. They don't celebrate Columbus Day, you know? It's like, hey, rape day. And I was trying to have a discussion with one of them. I'm like, okay, so if you're the Native Americans, shouldn't they have had a wall? How dare you fucking compare? I'm like, no, it's just about sovereignty. That's the issue. You don't believe, some people don't believe in borders. Okay, well, you also think that what Columbus and the settlers did to the Native Americans was bad. Okay, so how do you have both those things in your brain at the same time? So you believe that the Columbus and his crew should have been kept out of the Americas, so they didn't kill 95% with pathogens, airborne diseases. And I'm not even claiming that they kill. I'm talking about smallpox, you know, chickenpox, all these things. So if you're dealing with pathogens and you're dealing with a foreign invader, you wouldn't want a wall. And they'd be like, it's not the same. They always say it's not the same. Like, they can't speak in metaphor, comparison, ratio. It just is impossible. And I just find that it's starting to become boring, where it's like, what do you talk about? You just talk about like how you feel. And there's a lot of left-wing podcasts that I love. And I'll tell you the unifying factor why I can have friends on the right, friends on the left. I make fun of Trump. I make fun of the social justice warriors. Why? The unifying thing. I relate to people that have a goal, or they at least look out of their own skull. Like, I like the Reply All, and I like Radiolab, and I like these podcasts because Reply All is about the internet, and they're very left-leaning people, but the discussion isn't how they feel or what their identity is in society. That's so boring and toxic. It's about the internet. And so it's not that left-leaning people are bad people or right-leaning people are bad people. It's, are people like, because the right can do that too, where they over-scrub, they get over-ordered, over-orderly. You know, they're trying to scrub away the bad things in the world, you know? That's a little scary as well. I just like people that, like Radiolab, like this episode is all about one virus, or like this one time in history, or because then it's fine. I feel no cognitive dissonance on either political side as long as people are looking out and not in, because in creates this hall of mirrors where you're alone. And then, as Jordan Peterson said, legend, you have to create your own personal walls. And when you do that, you become weaker. And then you need a bigger wall, which makes you even weaker, until you become a person seeking safe spaces on Yale college campuses, which is the safest place in the entire world, is still not safe enough for these people. And that's when you really have to start asking yourself the question, where does it go? And right now, if you're thinking like, oh, this is scary, I shouldn't listen to right-wing rhetoric. It's not right-wing rhetoric, it's self-survival rhetoric. Because you don't want to attach yourself to a mentality that can't possibly succeed. It is a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme is a pyramid scheme where it requires constant new investment. They don't actually make anything. So the way social justice warriors work right now is they chop up us as a people as if we are a company. Just divide, 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 and they don't make anything. It's like what Richard Gere did in Pretty Woman. They don't make anything. They just divide. And you can't keep dividing forever. You get down to the one atom, the last atom, and when you divide it, boom! Nuclear explosion. All right, hugepianist.com. Please subscribe, please tell people about this. You can be a Patreon, patreon.com/WDTL. And of course, you can email me at whydidntheylaugh@gmail.com. Mwah, I love you.